was before then.
Right.
Yeah, that's what Mary said, that he was back in the days of,
the person that worked, I don't know. Have you talked to Buster on this?
No, I haven't. I don't even know where he lives.
Next to the lounge.
Yeah.
East of the lounge.
What are you saying?
He would have more of his dates.
In what way do you think your grandfather helped besides, you know, interpreting? What do you think is his contribution to Pauline's travel politics, you know, or travel constitution or organization or planning or, you know, cattle or sheep or something of this nature? Where would you say he was contributing those to?
Well, he did help running in running a store with helping Emmett Wirt, and where people came for credit and needed help, being out of grocery and near starvation, that he would help one way or another see that these people did get something.
I see. He's more or less sort of a unrecognized leader then.
Right, he was sort of unrecognized. I don't think I haven't heard or read about him actually being recognized anyway. But just hearsay to people that he was quite a guy.
Well, I've heard a lot of men like that haven't been recognized either. And those are the kind of people that I'm interested in, because the rest of the recognized, we know something about them. It's just that I'd like to know more about the people who weren't recognized, because I feel that they're the ones that need, you know, some credit too.
Right.
And I know they're, you know. Was he ever councilman or?
No, I don't think that never did have an organization until it was organized in 1937, first organized council.
Oh, I see. He was before this
that
time?
That was before that time.
Yes. I see. So in other words, he was he one of the men that came up from Muscalero and,
I
see. So then, you know, you don't know much about him except from what you hear. So he's always lived around here near Dulce?
He had a place up here by Dulce Lake. This, I mean, before he got to Dulce Lake. Above John Wanoski's place on the right-hand side where Louita used to live.
Oh, I see.
It was a big long house there. Back since when I was born.
I see. Did he run, you know, did he have sheep or cattle?
Yeah, quite a bit of sheep. He ran a lot of sheep. He didn't have to, at the time of his death, I don't think he was wishing for anything. He was a progressive type man.
I see. Would you call him a progressive or?
Yeah, progressive.
I see. And so you feel like you're sort of
following footsteps.
I see.
And with me, with just a little effort, I can get something done. With hurting one of his feelings, this is what I like about the way I can get out and say, all right, let's go. And those people that were sitting behind and didn't want to do anything, they're right out there working. Build up their morale. Keep them going.
I see.
And I don't fake it. It's a truth.
I see. Do you think that the tribe is really going places, or do you think that they're just there's more that they could do that they don't want to do.
I think that the tribe could do a lot better and a lot more with a little more counseling. This is one thing that I'm going to stress. During the time when the time comes for me to take over the tribe as the president, that we cut down law enforcement and concentrate more on counseling within the homes. I would like to see 8 people, 4 non-Indians and 4 Ikarias, go into each home and solve people's problems and bring it to the office and have something done about it. Where most of our people sit back and they hate to tell anybody because nothing's ever been done about it.
In other words, no one's there to listen.
Yeah, no one listens. The only time people listen is when they're near death.
Right.
Near starvation. And then they listen. Then they will sit back and say, how come this isn't being done? You know, we usually go to the doctor, and I tell the doctors, even though it's just a little splinter, I want him to take care of it because if I don't, it'll soon turn into blood poisoning, they have to have to take it. And the doctor turns right around and says, why, you should have brought it in when it was just a splinter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is some of the problems here on this reservation that exist that we don't recognize. We don't take care of these smaller problems. We wait till it becomes a big old fire and then try to put it out. We don't have enough time.
Yeah. I see about your, about going into the homes and, you know, solving the problems. How do you think that these people could, you know, solve someone else's problem? I mean, do you really think that they could?
I feel that if we get some professional help, some people with degrees and hire them, pay them with money, and they will in turn go into their homes along with another Ikaria that is at least halfway interested in their people, and I'm sure a lot of these problems can be ironed out.
You think so? What about, do you think that there's a feeling among the tribe that you know, they're willing to tell someone else their troubles? Let's say, for example, you hired 4 professionals and you hired 4 Hickory Apaches, and the Hickory Apaches were not related to the others. Do you think that they, you know, would be willing to tell their problems? Like, for instance, do you think that they'd be willing to tell me their problems? Let's just say, for example, that you hired me to, you know, go to their
homes. Well, this is why we like to have 8 people. Out of the 8 people, I think that you can find someone that you have confidence in that you will want to tell them your problems. But if we only had 1 counselor on the reservation, then the question that you're asking me would be impossible. But being that you have a choice among 4 teams, I think that you really get something.
I see. So in other words, the whoever has the problem
has a choice
of
which counselor to go to.
I see, but it's going to all have to start with the person if he wants to solve his problems. Otherwise, he'll just continue having those problems, whatever they may be.
And right now, there's people walking the streets and roofs and have problems. They don't know what to do with it, where to take it. So the only place that they can take it is to the lounge room with a little faucet. Courage, and the truth comes out. But that truth that comes out there, it's left on the floor and to be swept up and thrown out. I feel that if they come to the tribe, to the right places, with a sober mind, that some of these problems can be taken care of. I can say that no one can solve the problems 100%, but at least 75%, I think we'll be doing good by taking care of them. And I know this works because here with Jack as a personnel director, when person came to me and said, well, we don't have any housing. So we're just luckily we found a place for her to stay and her family. And soon after that, I had about 4 or 5 inquiries about places to live, but we didn't have it.
I see, yes. You mentioned a while ago about a reduction in the police force. Do you think we have too many policemen?
Definitely too many.
Do you think that they're sort of the cause, not the cause, but the add to the problem to the people?
Right.
Like, they don't treat them right and things like that?
Right, and they start carrying a grudge and they can start getting worse instead of better.
My mom used to tell me when they only had one policeman, there was hardly any violence. I mean, there wasn't a lot of violence. I mean, Mishkotin was just
well,
by himself.
He is a good man. I speak very highly of Mishkotin. From what I know of him, he's never abused the people, not unless the people turned around and wanted to fight, and he was there to fight too. He wasn't going to run from anybody. But very seldom that this happened. Just once in a while that he did get into a fight. But most of the time when he tells a drunk down the street to go on home, that they go home.
They had respect for him.
They had a lot of respect for him. He wasn't just a policeman. He was something greater than a policeman. And I'm glad that he is going to go down in history because I speak very highly of Chikotin.
What was his full name? I just know him as Mishkotin. Do you know what his name is?
Mishkotin
Kotin. I see. Now it seems like we have a lot of policemen. I don't know how many we have, but I see so many of them. Every time I come here, I can't help but run into them. And it seems to me like from the newspapers I've been reading, the chieftain, there have been more deaths, more suicide, especially among the younger people lately than ever in history. I mean, they're not just dying, you know, there must be something wrong with it. And I know a lot of them have a lot of grudges against the policemen. Now that we have more policemen, the violence has gone up. But it seems to me like back when, maybe in your time, which wasn't very long ago, the violence wasn't that big. And we didn't have so much violence, and there was just one policeman. So what happened all of a sudden that we got so many policemen? I mean, what happened to that Ishkotin idea?
Well, this is one thing that I think the tribe should have stopped before it got started. And this is not, I don't think, any idea that the Hickory has thought of. I think this was sort of brought in from the outside under this guy's name who was Glover, I think. He was the one that sort of introduced this whole thing to the tribe, where all the policemen had to be so-so. And actually, what I think about it, I'll speak the truth, is that Glover is a German.
Mm-hmm.
And what he thinks, I think he's being a German, he has to be proud of what little there was to be proud of is the Gestapo's back in Germany. This is what it's all based on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, I don't believe it myself. After all, we fought for democracy. It should be as such.
Yeah, I see. So you think that it was Glover who brought in the ideas?
Yes.
And he increased the police force?
He increased everything so that we have a 24-hour watch over the reservation. I don't think that's unnecessary.
And then they just continued on when he left, huh?
And then, well, they're continuing it under the chief of police right now.